Men like to do business with people they like. We've got one member. He's in the real estate business, and he received his license at the age of 82. He told them when he joined this real estate firm that he could only work for them for 18 years. And they asked him, said, "Why can you only work for us for 18 years?" And he told him, he said, "Because at the age of 100, I'm going to go to law school." We had a home builder come one Thursday and spoke at our Thursday luncheon, which is facilitated by Ted Robertson. He's the president of the Tulsa chapter of the IFCB. He's the district vice president of the Southwest District of the IFCB. The home builder, he builds million-dollar homes. This member, at the age of 82, who faithfully attends a roundtable, made a connection with this builder. And after building a relationship, the builder gave him a listing on a brand-new home with a price tag of $2.9 million. At our Tuesday morning roundtable this week, he told us that he had a cash offer on that house for $2.9 million. Let me ask you a question. Is that a benefit? If he had not been attending our roundtable and had not been a member of our fellowship, would he have been where he is today? Good question. We have members that are... We had a young man come from Africa to attend the Oral Roberts University, and he had approximately $100 in his pocket. He was invited to attend our roundtable, and he later brought his family to Tulsa. He graduated from Oral Roberts University debt-free. Several of the members of our roundtable were very instrumental in assisting him in many ways. And he said that he told me, Don, I feel that I have received more wisdom from attending the Tuesday morning roundtable than I did in all the years at the university. Fellows, there is no substitute for fellowshipping with men who have the experience. A man with a truth in his heart is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. We have members that are men of prayer led by the Holy Spirit. They counsel, they minister salvation and healing in and through their business. I know Ted Robertson, he has a constant flow of people coming through his office. We have people all the time. And a lot of these men that are here this morning have opportunities that are presented to them, people who have all kinds of different challenges. But these men will take the opportunity to invite them in and spend the time. And I won't tell Ted's story, but you know, as we pray and ask God to send people across our paths, he does that. And all we have to do is just be willing. God is not looking for how much we know, but he's looking for a willing heart. In every IFCB meeting, our objective is to add value to everyone that attends. We want people to feel like they've made a good investment of their time. We want them to feel better as a person because of the fellowship, the relationship, the encouragement, and the inspiration that they receive from an evangelistic testimony. You know, one of the reasons a lot of roundtables, a lot of chapters don't have the success they would like to is because sometimes we get in a rut and we have meetings because we feel obligated to have a meeting. But I believe every time that we have a meeting that we need to approach that is, do I have something prepared that is going to add value to the guests that come? If you don't feel like that your guests are going to be better off by attending your meeting than they were before they came, you're probably not going to be very successful. But when you are excited about what you are going to present to those that come, and you add value to their life, you know, you just believe in your heart that they're going to be better off by having been to your meeting, then it's easy to invite people. And I know in our luncheons and roundtables, when you have an attitude that you are there to build people, it's going to make it easier to invite people to come. Because if you're excited about what the speaker that you have or the lesson material that you are providing, I'll tell you, fellas, it's easy. Every time you see somebody, that man, that guy belongs in a round table, because I believe he would be better off becoming. It's not always a one-way street. It's a win-win situation, because when people come, they're built up. It blesses them. It blesses our fellowship, and we build them up. We add value to their lives, and they add value in turn back to us. You know, we've got a gentleman with us this morning. You've heard me mention his name. His name is Harold Bennett. Harold is in the he lifts people into high places. He's got a business, and he's been a member of the IFCB. And I'd like to have Harold come and share with us how he got involved in the IFCB and where that his life really took a turn for Jesus, and then share what the IFCB has meant to him. Mr. Bennett, would you honor us, sir, and come and share with us?
I will, and I thank you. When I came to the IFCB meeting, it kind of developed into an association. I saw businessmen that I liked and respected from St. Louis, everywhere. You know, the more I got involved, the more I saw people that were godly people and didn't mind telling you about it. I mean, we tell it like it is. And I wasn't used to that. I was used to kind of keeping my religion over here, you know. Yeah, when I go to church, I'm religious. When I go to the bar, I have a drink. But this association here has meant more to me in my business. It's made it not so important that you do a lot of business, not so important that you set any records or the different things. It becomes less important and more important what you can do with it, you know, how you can use it. And these people help me get my act together, I guess you might say. And that as you can see, I'm old enough to retire. And I was telling the gentleman back here, I decided I would, and went home and told, well, Mom, I'm about to retire. And she reminded me, very, very good, you know, you can do this and mow the lawn and do that and do all those things you've been having done. I said, I'm not quitting. But I do thank you, and I sure enjoy being a part of this group.
Mr. Bennett, would you tell the folks what that trip to St. Louis, that first trip we made to St. Louis Men's Camp, meant to you?
That was something. For me, kind of a, like I said, conservative Christian over here, or churchgoer, we went to a retreat. in St. Louis, outside of St. Louis, and I saw for sure, and not on television, I saw people filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was, you could feel it, and when it came, Jack Martin was holding my hand, or he's holding me up, I guess, but I was saying to myself, I'm not gonna fall out here on the floor, but all at once, it just got, I got too much problem to stand up. So I saw for the first time in my life, really, saw and felt the power of the Holy Spirit come upon people, and we saw healings, goodness gracious, and Jack Martin, last year, or 2 years ago, we were having this convention here, well, more than 2 years ago, but anyway, we were sitting in, my wife had an aneurysm, and it had affected her sight, and she couldn't see, and had a lot of pain, and we were sitting at listening to the speaker. When the meeting was over, Jack just stood at the end of the aisle there and waited for Wilma, and she came out standing right in the aisle of that auditorium. He prayed. We went back to the room, and she was standing there and said, "Well, I don't know whether to take this pill or not." And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "This pain pill." I said, "Are you hurting?" And she said, "No." And threw it away. And she couldn't see. She couldn't drive. She couldn't have double vision, all that. And through prayer and healing, she helped drive up here. And
tell us about her doctor.
She said the biggest problem with her double vision was she couldn't hit the golf ball. She didn't know which one to hit. And she and another lady are playing. They drive up the cart, and she had been healed, she said she looked, and there was two golf balls. She said, "Goodness gracious, it's back." And the other girl said, "Oh, we're laying right there together." Thank you.
Tell them about 2 weeks ago.
I was talking to Walter, and we had a similar experience 2 weeks ago, about 2 o'clock in the morning, on Monday morning. I had a stroke, and I got up out of bed, and I couldn't feel my right side, and tried to get to the bathroom, and wound up on the floor. Couldn't get up. Well, but the beautiful thing, as I lay there, just few seconds before Wilma got up and got to me, I had a beautiful feeling of, it's all right. I'm all right. I wasn't scared. I wasn't. It didn't bother me. I didn't want to go, but it's all right if I did. So, ride to the hospital and the ambulance and all that, and about 10 or 12 by noon the next day, that last seizure, and there's about 12 or 15 of them, hit. And I'm all right.
Praise God.
And there was a few prayers said, and you prayed, and I got well.
Praise the Lord.